Welcome to the Open Doors Podcast. I'm Janine.
I'm Marissa.
I'm Yvette.
This is a place where we would like to welcome you into our stories of rising and of falling, of laughing and of crying, of loving and of losing. We aren't perfect. We definitely don't have it all together. We don't even fully understand, but we do have each other. And because of that, we have an open door. Hi guys, welcome back.
Hi everyone.
Yellow.
So we have a new thing for you guys. At the end of every episode, James gives a special salute or like a way of saying goodbye. And it's not later, later, alligator.
Yes,
it's going to be a different thing every time.
You have to tell us what it is on our Instagram.
Are you listening until the end?
Very, very end.
Who's actually loyal?
Oh, loyalty. Crazy people who love loyalty. Our topic today is actually nobody hears me. It's one of those situations where you speak or you...
I'm sorry, the way that it went from talking about my goodbyes. We're going to check if you're loyal by seeing if you know James's goodbyes. And now, today's episode is going to be on, I don't feel like anyone can hear me. It's like the switch up was crazy.
It was. Well, you know, sometimes crazy people have crazy switch ups and I'm crazy.
So, yeah.
It fits. It fits. The way that we came up with this topic was James and I actually had an interesting situation. About a week ago, we were going for a walk in the neighborhood and a man actually stopped us and was like, hey, I need to tell you something. And we were just like, okay. And it wasn't somebody that we're actually like friends with, but we're friendly. Like we wave to him sometimes. I've seen him a bunch of times, but we're not like overly friendly with him. And he was like, I need to tell you guys something. My wife passed away last week and we were married for, was it 53 years?
Yeah.
He doesn't really remember, but it was 53 years and it was a surprise and he was just in complete shock and he just had to say it to somebody and he stopped us and James and I looked at each other and we were just like, what was her name? And
I think she was died early 70s, right?
Yeah, she was 70 years old when she passed away and it was a surprise and he didn't expect it. But I felt like it was one of those situations where he just needed to be like heard. Mm-hmm. And he just needed to say it out loud to somebody. And we were like, well, what was her name? And then we told him that we would pray for her. And he was like, thank you so much. And it was just one of those moments where we were just like, after we were a little bit shell-shocked, we're like, whoa, like, did that really just happen? Like, we couldn't believe it happened.
Before that, we were angry about something else as we walked up. Because, of course, we were.
I'm shocked.
And
he's ruining our...
And then it led into the guy saying that.
Yeah.
And it was almost like a shock of like, well, there's that in the world, but then there's also that. There are people who need to be heard. There's people who need to talk. We need to get it off their chest to get the chains off them.
Well, and it snapped us out of our selfishness, if we're honest. We were just being like petty about something, complaining. I don't even remember what it was. That's how little it mattered. But at the end of the day, the level of importance compared to what that man was going through, it just completely shifted our perspective and our anger was miraculously like disappeared.
I think what stands out to me in your story is the questions that you asked after he started sharing, because I think sometimes I was actually just having this conversation with somebody recently about knowing when someone's not actually listening to you when you're talking, how you can tell by their facial expression or their eyes. Like, I could be talking another language right now. This person's not listening to me at all. And I think the beauty of it is that, you know, aside from the fact that the man in, you know, his shock of grief was trying to probably make sense of it. Mm-hmm. And by saying it out loud, you know, in my own experience, just saying it out loud, like maybe makes it more real. But the point that I'm trying to make is when he spoke, mm-hmm. and when he shared, your engagement back, your interest back was probably such a beautiful moment for him because you made him feel seen and heard by not just listening, but by responding and engaging back. Because I think in conversation, the engagement back or the questions back feel better than feeling like someone's trying to fix you back. Mm-hmm. They're just like, it's like that active listening and just feeling heard and seen.
I feel like that's all he was looking for. And he was definitely out loud trying to make sense of the chaos that was his world at that moment. And we just happened to be walking by. But it was one of those moments where you just have nothing really to say that could make any kind of a difference. But I did feel like he wanted to talk about her. So that's why we were like, oh, what was her name? And that's when he told us what her name was. And
I felt like it reminded me a lot of Peter. Pretty much drowning in the water after he stepped out into the ocean and stepped onto it. It's almost like he finally registered how big, how scary the waves were, and he just couldn't do it anymore. And he just fell. And it was almost like Jesus reached out and he had a choice. He could either grab the hand and help, or he could just sit there and try to get out himself and stay in that freaked out flight or fight mode.
And I just looked at it as maybe every now and then everybody kind of wants someone to listen to them. Someone to like want to hear their story. It's weird to say this, but I think if we would have stopped and just been like, why don't you just tell us about her? I think he would have been happy to just sit there and tell us his whole story with her. You know, he told us how many years he was married. He said what a wonderful person she was. And it was a conversation that lasted maybe a minute and a half. But I do think that he would have been willing to just talk to us. It was like an honest thing for him. And I think the thing that happens in the world sometimes is when you're sharing your story, or your story is such a hard story, that sometimes you start to believe you're the only person in the whole entire world who has ever felt like this before. Mm-hmm. And I think that it could really, instead of leading to reaching the hand out, which is what he did, it could lead to like a retreat, like a isolation, hide. I don't want to be around anybody because nobody understands me anyway, type of a thing.
It reminds me a lot of what men and women deal with a lot nowadays. It's almost like they get wounded and they hide it. Mm-hmm. So instead of, you know, talking, bringing the wound to the father who will clean it out and heal it, they just hide the wound. And, you know, the father really can't go past what your acceptance of him is. So he's not going to heal you if you don't ask. He's not going to help you if you don't speak up. You got to use your voice. And there's a lion inside of your lungs and you've got to use it.
Mm. Wow. Yeah, we tuck it away in some box with the lie that no one understands me. And no one's like me. And, you know, I think we keep bringing up the trap of comparison so many times. And, you know, we were talking about it before. And yes, of course, not everybody is the same. Not every relationship is the same. So if we're talking specifically about any sort of loss, whether it be a best friend moving away or a fight with somebody or, you know, death or loss or a breakup or whatever it may be. Yes, the relationship is different. Mm-hmm. No, you personally don't know what I went through, or and vice versa. However, it doesn't mean that we're alone in it, you know? And when we hear that lie that nobody understands me, and we get into that isolation, until we come out of it, we're just going to dig ourselves deeper and deeper and deeper into that hole. And we end up storing all of that in some box that eventually is going to leak out into all areas of our life. And then we're just left feeling alone, and the healing can't take place. I think that's really what you were saying too, James, is like there's like a block to the healing because we feel like no one understands us. And that is a lie. Mm-hmm. It is a lie.
Yeah.
What I find, it's almost like you constantly have rocks being dropped into your pile, dropped onto your back. You're always told you got to carry it. You know, you feel like everyone's saying, oh, just give it to this guy. He could handle it. And really, that's not what they're trying to do at all. It's just that what we do as humans is sometimes we maybe unintentionally give that rock, that burden, to other people. But as we live life without getting the rocks taken off, without having God take the rocks since he could handle it, doing that is just a ton of heaviness on your back that's going to keep pushing you down until it's almost like you can't walk anymore. And it's almost like that'll transfer into your everyday life. Like, the body will keep the score, as you always say. Mm-hmm. Like, you keep a wound open too long, it's going to get infected. Mm-hmm. You keep too much weight on your back too long, you're going to fall. Mm-hmm. You're not invincible. You're not Superman. Mm-hmm. And, you know, even in comics and movies and stuff, you see Superman still has trouble. He still has weaknesses. He's not God. What he is an alien. He's superhuman, but he's not God. He has the weakness to kryptonite.
Yeah. I'm actually circling back to what you said about the truth is, yeah, nobody does know how you feel, because every person's circumstance is so individual. But I think where the lie comes in is that nobody can understand you, so you don't share it with anybody and you just hold on to it. And then we actually almost start to hoard our anger. We start to hoard our grief. We start to hoard our loss as though it's our, it's almost like Gollum from The Lord of the Rings, like, my pretty, like, it's like he's holding on to this ring, like he wants to hold on to it forever as like a prize. And
it's an obsession.
It's an obsession, and it's not true. And I think that's why, like, we're made for connection. Humans are just built that way. We're made for unloading our burdens on God, yes, but he gave us each other for that whole purpose of being willing to share, to open up, and to be able to honestly, it's not a matter of somebody needing to fix anything. Like, we didn't fix that man. I don't even know his name, but we did listen to him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think sometimes when you're in that place, I think him making that move to even connect and communicate with us was like a move of bravery.
Yes.
In a time that maybe he had every right to not want to speak to anybody. And I think there's a time and a place too. There are those moments where you need to just kind of mull it over for yourself and think about it and, you know, go through it. But I do feel like we do need to be available as humans to one another to be able to share our burdens, because trauma then just stays and it just builds. If it doesn't go through what they call the pain pathway, if we don't learn how to share our stories with one another, I think that it ends up becoming stuck.
Yeah, I think that's why therapy is so good. Especially for somebody who's really struggling, because it's an opportunity to really be heard. Because especially if you're doing a talk therapy where you can just, you know, whether you meet somebody in person or you get on a Zoom call and you just, you know, you talk and you talk and you talk and you just unburden yourself with that. And I think what happens is, I know for myself in previous experiences, if I didn't feel heard by a certain person or a certain group of people, it was almost like, okay, I tried it and I don't think they heard me. And so, like, now I'm never going to do it again. Mm-hmm. And I make this vow and then I tuck it away. And then resentment, the word resentment came to me when you were talking, holding it just like, to me, I can see it like in the core. If we're talking about the body, like that like stiffness, that tightness, like right in the core, like of not feeling like someone actually hears me. And I think it's different than being seen, but it's also kind of the same thing. And again, I think it is important for time to be quiet and for time to pray about it for yourself, think about it for yourself, sit with it by yourself. One of the biggest things for me when I was experiencing grief in the early years and months was I just really wanted to talk about Brian. Mm-hmm. You know, I would be like, oh, hey, someone tell me a good story. You know, tell me a story about a time when I didn't know him. I know that was like big with like me and his mom. She would tell me stories about him when he was like younger. And it was just, you know, I think that that kind of conversation allows each other to be heard. You know, sometimes like when you prompt those questions and then, you know, it just becomes like a connection. And, you know, maybe it does come with a little bit of trust with the other person, like who you're talking to.
For sure.
But I think we also can do it, you know, with strangers. Yeah. And I think God puts these people in front of us, like watching the Holy Spirit work in that moment with you guys and that man, like he may never remember it, but you're going to remember it forever.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like he might have been in such shock. I don't know that he's ever going to remember even talking to us that day. But the interesting thing was that it was like a week after my own father-in-law had passed away. So it was like we were both like, wow, you know, we didn't mention that or anything, but it was one of those things where it was like, I know how you feel type of a situation. It was just an eye opener to, you know, you always hear, you never know what battle somebody is in at that time. Like you just never know. And I think it was like an eye opener to that and a distraction from whatever little thing, not that things are little, like whatever thing had bothered us. I think it was like we went, like somebody like beeped and what did something obnoxious or something when we were walking. We were just like, oh, why are people so annoying? And it was like we were just rambling on about that. And then all of a sudden this guy is like, hey. And it like kind of shakes you out of complaining. And it just makes you look at other people as people. I think sometimes, and I don't know why, but I don't know why I'm thinking this, but sometimes we just want to make the other people the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe they don't deserve to be the enemy.
Yeah.
But it's like sometimes someone does something that you don't like or whatever, and you just kind of look at them and you just now you're the enemy. And it's almost as though our sight gets so, it's like when Yvette was talking about the horse who can't see anything except straight ahead. I feel like that's sometimes how we get so stuck in that, you know, whether it's looking at somebody else as the enemy or looking at ourselves as alone. Mm-hmm. Either way, it's not good for you.
Right. And I think complaining too, you know, is actually sometimes important.
Yeah, let it go.
Because, yeah, like
it's, like Elsa says,
like the sharing of it, the speaking of it can be in so many different forms, you know, and it's getting the courage to say it. To say it out loud. I mean, that bravery on him to speak is pretty remarkable.
Yeah. And he couldn't hide his grief if he tried. I mean, it was like written all over him. There was just this sense of like overwhelm, shock, sadness. Like I said, I don't know the guy at all, but he was definitely somebody who really, really appreciated his wife. He loved her. It was so obvious. Shook me up, that's for sure.
My instinct is like, where does he live? Let's knock on his door. Let's bring him cookies. Let's like say hello. Like my instinct is to want to give him more, you know, but it's really understanding too that it's just a passing moment. Mm-hmm. And if God decides to put him in front of anybody again, like then it's just another moment. But I think the desire too, when we notice somebody who maybe feels unseen or unheard, and we might have this desire to make sure that they are. It that can almost be overwhelming too. So it's this balance of just a natural rhythm of really just kindness and showing people that they matter.
And I've definitely prayed for him since too. So he's come into my mind like on several different occasions and stuff. So I've definitely said prayers for him since he said it that day. You know, we did say we would pray for him. That's what we did. That's really all we did.
That's what we do.
I just think it's interesting how as humans we operate. We're fascinating. We're interesting. And I think we all just have different ways in which we approach healing. Mm-hmm. If I was in his shoes, I don't know that I would have been like that. You know, I think of when I lost my best friend and she passed away. I remember, I mean, I guess we did talk about her a lot. And me and like a bunch of us that we were like so close with her. We all did really get together quite often and we talk about her quite often. And we still text about her. So I guess it is healing to really share and connect.
Yeah, actually, I can't believe I didn't connect it to this story, something that actually happened to me a couple days after Brian passed away. I mean, clearly something was going on at my house mm-hmm. at the time between all the cars and, you know, it was obvious. And again, this was like days after I was by myself. I was walking Sunny and my neighbor, he always called me Teach. And he was somebody that always made you feel seen and heard. Mm-hmm. It was the craziest thing. First of all, he had a nickname for everybody. So to me, nicknames show like love. I don't know. There's just something about it. So he called me Teach. He's like, and so nonchalantly. And the odd thing is like, I know he knew what had happened, mm-hmm. but he was like, hey, Teach, what's going on down at your house lately? And I was like, my husband died. And it was like the same situation, except mm-hmm. like, you know, he approached me, but the ability to like say it out loud. And then he was like, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, and then he came down and like, again, just those moments. And since, honestly, I have to say, since that day, for the 4 years that I did live in that house on the same block, he was always somebody that I knew heard me. I knew he would listen. He would just like, I would share anything. He would talk to me about anything. Like it was just, you walked up the block and you kind of were like, I don't know. I hope he's outside right now. I hope it. We have an opportunity just to like listen, because he was somebody that I knew would make me feel heard. Yeah. Seen.
It's like holy moments.
Yeah.
Little exactly. moments when you come in contact with people who just remind you that there's something else, there's something more, whether it be something like that man that stopped us or, you know, yours was like a reverse of mm-hmm. it. But it was still a, I think, like what can be considered one of those moments. Because sometimes I think you can be in a crowd and everybody else is busy and doing things and moving and everything is happening. And like, sometimes I think you can be in a crowd and just be part of the crowd, but feel like you're alone, mm-hmm. you know?
I feel like sometimes in crowds, it's either you could sometimes be a fake version of yourself or you could be a ghost. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to stick true to your person, to your mm-hmm. identity in a crowd, because then you want to appease everyone in the crowd. Meanwhile, if it's just one-on-one, it's easier to be true to who you are, because most times the other person is willing to hear, since he really or she really isn't listening to anything else. It's just you two. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I completely agree. And sometimes like it's in the crowd. I want to be heard, but I don't want to be heard at the same time. Like mm-hmm. there's always like one foot in, one foot out. But I think it's adapting to the crowd that you're in. But I think just over time in my own growth, like I can feel the confidence more often than not in those situations. But also knowing that there are times where it's one extreme and then the other.
Yeah. I think it goes back to what we were saying in the last episode, everything in balance, everything mm-hmm. in moderation, everything in sort of like an order, trying to maintain that semblance of part of us is going to be the one that wants to hide. Part of us is going to be the one that's going to want to be seen. And we're all of it, mm-hmm. you know, at different times, in different seasons, in different places, we can be all of it. And I think it's just remembering that even when maybe the voices of the people around us are not there in the way that we want, God is there and he does hear and he does want to hear from yeah. us. He wants us to speak to him and to go to him in those moments.
Absolutely.
Just like that man, you know, he reached out his hand. I think it's a matter of just reaching out your hand and Absolutely. Being open. Makes you a little bit vulnerable, but it's worth it.
It is worth it.
All right. I think we're coming to an end. Tiny miracles.
I had ordered something that was taking forever to be delivered, and it was past the day that I needed it for. It ended up coming on like super early, and I got it, and I was just so happy. So
yeah, that's amazing. My tiny miracle was I went to the mall with my daughter today, and she was like, oh, I'm going to get a cookie from this like amazing place. Of course, we're back to the cookies. And she was like, oh, you should try one of those chocolate chip peanut butter whatever, and it's like a type of cookie that you're supposed to have hot. And let me tell you something, This might have been the most amazing cookie I've ever had in my life. It was like a, I think it was called like a chocolate peanut butter cup. I don't know. It had actual like peanut butter though in the middle of it that was like in it with like crunched up peanut butter cups.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
It was amazing.
Well, my tiny miracle is going for a run.
Oh, so instead of my fat cookie.
But I also got to see one of our neighbors, not the one his wife passed, but it was a different neighbor. And we just got to talk a little bit about how the summer and how torturous the gym is with its two fans that, you know, only spew cold air in one direction. The rest of the gym is usually steaming hot. But so it was just nice to be able to move though.
Yeah, good. Again, tying your tiny miracle into the topic for today.
I know. Good job.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
All right. Thanks, guys. See you next time. Oh, and don't forget to like, subscribe, and share if this video has done anything for you. I'd like to do a shout out to Tara.
Oh, yeah.
Tara. I like feel like so grateful to her. She is like one of the most amazing people. She is constantly like reflecting on the episodes and sharing about them. And I just, yeah, we really appreciate you, Tara. Thank you.
We love you, Tara.
See you in a few kangaroos.
See you in a few kangaroos. All right. Bye, guys.
Bye.